I want to talk to you from the subject this morning, moving forward in a life of liberty. Moving forward in a life of liberty. And when I was doing this, I thought about the peculiarity of the subject in the sense, what do you mean a life of liberty? But then I believe the Lord allowed me to see something a little different. Go with me to Galatians 5 and verse 13. New Living Translation reads, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." So he said, we've been called to live in freedom. Now, this is the way it was impressed upon me in looking at this. As believers, we have, when we come to Christ, we experience liberty like no other. There's nothing to compare with the liberty that we experience when we come into Christ. I mean, it's you know, for lack of a better way of putting it, it seems like the sunset looks better, the sunrise looks better, people look better, things look better. I mean, it just seemed like almost blinders that was on your eyes have been removed and you walking like in a freshness. Amen. Why don't we always have that? If we call to live in a life of freedom. I got to looking at that. What is it if Jesus didn't die on the cross for us to experience a day of liberty, but a life of liberty? So I want to look at moving forward as in living a life of liberty. How do we move forward living in freedom? How do we move forward experiencing this day in and day out? So that's kind of how I'm looking at this, just to give you my perspective. So let's read Galatians 5 and 13 again. "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." So we're going to deal, actually that's going to be my theme scripture, because I've taken my 3 points out of that. Because if we understand that, first off, I'm looking at the whole perspective. For me, I'm called to live in freedom. So anything that's working to bring me into bondage is contrary to what I'm called to. I don't care what it is. I don't care who it is. See, no, that's a different perspective, because you understand what you're called to. See, if you didn't know that you were called to live in freedom, we would maybe accept the fact that, you know, that, well, you know, that was the day you got saved. That ain't mean for the next 20 years you're supposed to experience that. You know, people start telling you that. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you just keep living this thing. You'll see why I act like this. Amen. Really? Oh, but what does the scripture say? If we call to live in freedom. So let me point number one. Let me show you what I'm saying. We have been called by Jesus Christ to live in liberty. We have been called by Jesus Christ to live in liberty. Go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, King James. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Now, I'm called to live in liberty. You called to live in liberty. So no matter what's going on in our day, no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what we're facing, I'm called and you called to live in liberty, or to live in freedom. Why? Because you got to remember, Jesus died for this freedom. But here's an interesting thing. Listen to this. Listen to what the scripture says. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." Okay, all that's good. "And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." So you can be entangled again. Because if you couldn't be entangled again, it would not say be not entangled. So what you and I have to do is recognize that we are called to live in this freedom. Now, we're going to get into this a little bit, but I'm just I'm setting the table before we eat. All right? So you and I understand that we're called to live in freedom, stay in this freedom, don't become entangled again. You ever seen people who are just sour? I mean, they just not, I mean, like, are you ever happy? I mean, what does it take to make you happy? I mean, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You must not be strong today. I mean, what is this? You know, so I'm saying, okay, if I'm called to live in this freedom, I don't want to get entangled in the yoke of bondage again. I know what it's like to be in bondage. I want you to look at something. I'm going to show you something real quick. This is interesting. I'm going to show you one of the key things that I believe that bring us into bondage. I'm not going to deal with this in depthly, but I'm going to touch on it. Acts chapter 8, verse 1, New Living Translation. Now, if I went and I was talking about Jesus specifically in this, well, Jesus wasn't in bondage. So we got to find somebody who was in bondage so we can see how they dealt with this. The Bible says scriptures was written for our examples. So we got to find somebody who was an example that we could follow. So I want to show you something. See if you could watch this here. Very, very, very key. Because all of us start off free. You go back to your date of salvation and you just, ooh, I mean, I'm talking about stuff looked wonderful. What is it that's changing our disposition? Look at this. The Bible says Saul was one of the witnesses. What are you talking about, Pastor? And he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. So we're talking about Saul being a witness when Stephen, however you want to do that, was murdered. A great wave of persecution began that very day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem and all the believers except the apostles that were scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria. For those of you all who are aware or who may not be aware, this is Saul who later becomes the Apostle Paul. So here is Saul who is one of the witnesses to the murder of a man of God. I want to make sure we understand this in our vernacular. He is witnessing to the murder of a man of God. Okay, just make sure you understand. Go with me to Acts verse 3, down two verses. Acts 8 and 3, sorry. But Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. This dude is a terror. Everywhere he's going, he's creating havoc for the church. Go with me to chapter 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So Stephen ain't the only one. Hello? So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. This man was a terror. Now go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. King James. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. Because we're talking about living a life in liberty. Paul says, receive us. We've wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We've defrauded no man. How can Saul or Paul say this? Why isn't he experiencing the down times that we do? He's a murderer. got blood all over your hands. You don't kill folk in the church. Hopefully none of us kill nobody in the church. You don't have to raise your hand, please. I don't want to know that that's you. Saul was so bad that when he came to the apostles after getting saved, they didn't want to receive him. But how is this man can stand up and say, we wrong no man? Okay, wait. Maybe I can see if I can find you here since we're talking about living in liberty a little bit. How is it that he can murder people and he can say, I wrong no man, and yet we have problems walking in liberty because we remember the stuff we done yesterday? What is it that's short-circuiting us, but it didn't affect him? See, because we're called to live a life of liberty. Do we really understand what we have? The Apostle Paul did. I mean, just keep on a little bit. We're almost there. Go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, New Living Translations. Here's his whole key. And if we could learn it, we could live a life of liberty. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it. We ain't arrived. But I focus on this one thing. This is how I make it, y'all. This is how I make it. Here's the secret, y'all. I'm forgetting my past, and I'm looking forward to what lies ahead. You want to stay in liberty? You want to stay living a life? Forget your past. You need to have a short memory of what we did. Because everybody in here has a past. Right now, if the Holy Ghost came on you and he said, I'm calling you to go do thus and so, the first thing you do is think about, Lord, what am I? I don't know, God. So you go back to your past to decide if you can meet what God said you should be doing. Paul said, no, I ain't wrong. No, man, let's go. Let's go get it done. Let's go get it done. I'm with you, Lord, whatever you say. So now why is it that we're allowing the Spirit? We're literally causing the Spirit of God to be hindered in moving in our lives because we're remembering our past too much. Some of us in here today have such an evangelistic call on us, but we're bogged down with stuff from our past. Wow. Holy Spirit says, go ahead. I want you to reach out and share with them. Well, what they going to think of? See? Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, Lord, they might know about and. He said, I wrong no man. And we've seen he's murdered multiple people. He's responsible for the death of multiple individuals. He said, all right. And watch this. He was saying it to the church. I ain't done nothing. See, that's the kind of liberty we have in Christ. When Jesus forgave our sins, this wasn't just a little whitewash. It was, you are now, I am now a new creature with no past. So I'm not allowing my past to formulate my future for what God wants to do with me. I'm going to live in liberty. Some of us got some terrible stories. Ooh, I hope nobody ever know about that. Even if they do, who they talking about is not you. See, you know what? You got to get this. See, we keep walking around like that's me. You know what's really interesting when I look at the scriptures is they changed Saul's name from Saul to Paul. That's what we need to get, a name change. Because if you're not careful, you think they're talking about two different people in the scriptures, and they are. What we need to realize is you're talking about two different people when you're talking about my old past and who I am now. I'm not that same man. You're not that same man. You're not that same woman. So stop acting like it. Why are you identifying with the... That's like somebody else. You say, oh, that's my identity. No, it ain't. That's not even you. Because Christ gave you a new identity. And that identity is in him. You don't have that past. So stop allowing it to dictate when God calls you to do things. If whatever God calls you to do, you are equipped to do it. I'm just trying to, we just, you know. So Paul realized that in Christ, watch this, you can be forgiven and have the liberty to forget the past and move forward. See, this is how you're able to use that liberty. Not only am I forgiven, but I have the liberty now to forget my past. We carrying it around with you. Yeah, this is me. Mm-hmm. I got a record. What is a record? A record is simply everybody that got caught. I know some individuals who are in law enforcement. They just didn't get caught.
Come on, sir.
If you sitting up here thinking that them folk never done nothing wrong, that's how they in law enforcement. See, so I'm not going to be able to do. See, in Christ, you're a new creature. When are we going to act like that's real liberty? You sit down and get ready to do something and you start bringing up your past to determine how people are going to perceive you. If God wants you to accomplish it, how people perceive you is not going to matter. Because he's the one who called you, who's going to also do it. So watch this. Paul didn't just get free. He lived in liberty, and so should we. This is what I'm talking about, living in liberty. You ever done something and you were scared somebody was going to find your past? What if you don't have one? No, seriously, what if you really don't have one? And you don't. If God throws it in the sea of forgetfulness, what matters who else try to get something? He's the righteous judge. He's the one that's going, Lord, okay, now you know what? You know how we try to be spiritual, Lord, you know what? It's in the sea of forgetfulness. Know what? See, why do we have certain parts of the scripture we believe and certain parts we don't? Because if I'm a new creature, I'm a new creature. The old man, because sometimes when the enemy is trying to tempt me, entice me with stuff, I have to, this literally, and I told you all this before, literally I say, that man is dead. Because he is. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God. Because I have to make a distinction between me now and the old man is being tempted. The problem is when you think it's the same person. So we walking around here thinking we somebody we not. I am not that man. It's like somebody coming up to you and they say, you know, didn't I see you on so-and-so? No, that wasn't me. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, you're mistaken. You're just mistaken. Now, we used to be real good at that. We used to be real, real good at that. But now, when it's actually legal, why we ain't good at it? I'm not that man. I'm just trying to work this. We just give me a little while here. Number two. So, what are we dealing with here? What's going on that's trying to prevent us from being able to live in this kind of liberty, to walk in this thing the way Christ wanted us? Look at this. Number two, our old nature is in contention with our life of liberty. Our old nature is in contention with our life of liberty. There's a fight going on. And for some reason, saints, I think we forget this. There is a fight going on. The only reason there's a fight going on is because you have a new nature. When we only had our old nature, there was no fight. Okay, let me do it. Here's something interesting. I can't remember being tempted to sin unsaved. I was living in it. I mean, every day was sin. Just what degree we gonna do it? I was in sin. You were in sin. Now you have a new nature, so there's a temptation to sin. There's something enticing or something trying to get you to go sin, whereas before you just lived in it. We just lived in it. So there's a contention to the liberty that Christ has given us. So that's the difficulty. That's the friction in trying to live a life of liberty, that there's now contention. There's two warring factors. Now, we ain't talking about no devil, okay? This I want you to be, because, you know, we real quick to talk about everything that the devil, some of this is your old nature. So we might as well get rid of the first deception and recognize, I need your help here. I need your help for a second. I want you to say this.
In me.
It's the enemy. I'll give you a second to work on that now. It's the enemy. It's what's in you. It's what's in me. That's really the issue. But we want to always make it an enemy out there. It's that devil. Let me go to the scriptures, because go with me. Galatians 5 and 13 again, New Living Translation, which was our theme scripture. I want to show you something. Talking about this contention with our life of liberty. You've been called to live a life of freedom. Okay, we got that. No problem. We're called to live a life of freedom. So what's happening with that? It says, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Do you notice that the same people who call to live a life of freedom have a sinful nature? See the conflict? See the contention? Because our old sinful nature has its own agenda. Go Galatians 5, verse 19 now. I'm going to skip around a little bit. Listen to this. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures. Now watch this. He says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, meaning our sinful nature has desires. So with our saved, liberated self, we still got a sinful nature that has desires. Now, when I look at this, this look like it's written all Christians to me. Don't look like nobody's title made a difference. Matter of fact, don't look like how long you've been saved made a difference. Look like as long as you're in this flesh, that this flesh is going to have some nature, some desires. So, when you follow those desires, I'm going to share something with you. Okay, so look at this. So when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. So this is unmistakable. Right. Right. Now, I know if you read in King James, it says adultery and fornication. But when you actually put them together, it's sexual immorality. And which I think is more fitting for our day. Because folks calling a whole bunch of stuff right that's wrong. Sexual immorality is not a spirit. Are we going to slow it all down today? Now they're talking about folks got a sex addiction. So, yeah, they're sex addicts. It is a work of the flesh. My flesh, your flesh is not redeemed. It's never going to be. Can I remind you something? It's made out of dirt. Let's just go back all the way. It's made out of dirt. Dirt is always going to be dirt. There's no clean dirt. There's dirt. When you play in the dirt, you get dirty. Because dirt is always dirt. So sometimes we try to act like somebody, well, my flesh is not really. Listen, maybe sexual immorality is not your thing. But you just as dirty as everybody else. You still got a sinful nature. Because believe me, he don't stop at sexual immorality. But we need to understand, because see, well, Pastor, why are you taking so much time on it? Because we keep, here's the deception. Remember I told you one of the greatest threats to liberty is to mistake bondage for freedom? Watch this. If you think you're going to deal with a fleshly problem in the spirit, then you messed up. What am I saying? If I have a flesh problem and I think that what I need to do is get you to pray for me, let's deal with the problem where it's at. I'll clarify that in a moment. So look at this. So the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, and lustful pleasures. So our old nature's agenda is to satisfy its desires. Listen to this. People don't gain weight because they desire food. They gain weight because they act upon the desire. What am I saying? Look at the scripture. When you follow the desires, not because you have them. Because we have this thing that we think that, okay, I'm saved now. This shouldn't ever come across my mind. Did you remember that you still got the other nature? So the other nature wants to express itself. It has its own agenda. So now when it wants to express itself, the key is, are you following the desire? Because when you start following the desire, now you start going down to the path that's going to stop you from walking in the liberty or the life of liberty that Christ came for you to have. Not just because you have the desire. It's because you're following it. So that's what we're going to just slow it down. Now, I do want to say some things. If I was sitting there, I said, do I talk about this enough to say what sin is and all of this? But, you know, the Holy Spirit bears witness to truth. And I'm like, well, you know, do folk know what sin is anymore? Because, you know, things are, we don't know what bathroom to go to no more. So I don't know if people are confused about everything. So I guess sometimes you just got to go back to, you know, what's in the book. So now, listen, sexual immorality is not just a man and a woman having sex outside of wedlock. Especially in our day and time. I'm thinking, you know, when Paul was writing this, did he think the folks would be sexting on the phone? I mean, hello. Did he think the folks would be having virtual reality sex with them virtual reality glasses on. So, but the Holy Spirit did say sexual immorality because he knew what was coming. So I'm saying all of these things is what the Holy Spirit, because some people are like, well, I didn't commit adultery. I didn't. Now, your computer's full of what? That's sexual immorality. God's not playing. He knew what was coming. Just because they didn't know how to pin it right where you could understand, it's when you get on your computer and you log onto that website that's inappropriate. Because he didn't say that. He said sexual immorality. Here's your category. So we have to understand, well, you know, we didn't actually have, it wasn't heterosexual contact. If you, okay, you ain't got to worry about splitting hairs with me. It's God you got to deal with. I ain't trying to get in your, I don't even want to know. I'm just being honest. Don't even want to know. But people, well, you know, we didn't really, well. The water's already deep, huh? You might as well start swimming now. I'm just saying, you know, amen. I just, sometimes, you know, we act as though that God don't understand or know stuff. You can't. Okay, the court that you're looking at is a royal court. The judge that you're dealing with knows everything. Do you really want to play it like that? Because the Holy Spirit is all, even when you're in the act, he was letting you know, don't do that. That's what he told you before you got started. And in the midst of it, he tells you, you better stop. You better stop. Listen, you can sit here and act like you don't know if you want to, but when you there, yes, conviction all over you, yes, you almost, oh, I can't wait till this is over. Not because you enjoyed it, but because it's now all of a sudden become, it's grieving the Spirit of God inside of you. And there is nothing like condemnation on you afterwards. That is a condemnation like nothing else, when you know not that you've disappointed a person, but you've disappointed God. And now you're going to tell me it was worth that? He ain't worth that? She ain't worth that? They ain't worth that? However you want to do that. Because we have to understand. Well, I got to stay here. Because I don't know if, you know, people are not talking about stuff that's wrong no more. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me do it. People are not talking about sin no more. Well, I have issues. No, you have sin. Jesus does not forgive issues. But he can handle sin. Well, I just have some issues and, you know, it's okay. Really? Because, see, sometimes you got to realize we can't afford to do excuses. We have to deal with where we are with God. Because when I start realizing my flesh issues, I can handle them in my flesh. And when I start really realizing the spiritual issues, I can handle the spiritual issues in the spirit. But if you get them mixed up, you wonder why you're not getting results. I'm not finished. We're going to deal with all of that. So just hold on. Look at verse 20. Idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, and division. These are not demons. Oh yeah, because people are like that demon of anger. That ain't no demon. That's you. That is you all day long. Your old nature. And see, as long as you keep prescribing it as a demon, it's covered. And you can't deal with it because you're not dealing with it in what it really is. Yeah, just pray for me. No, we need to do more than pray for you. We need to make sure you realize what's happening in your life. You are allowing your sinful nature to rise up. And when are you going to mortify the deeds of your flesh? When are you going to put them to death? Nobody else can put your flesh to death but you. I put mine to death, you put yours to death. I can't put yours to death, and you can't put mine to death. It's our individual responsibilities. And how is it that we're so nice to everybody, but then the people that's close to us, we ready to chop their head off? What's these anger outbursts? What is that? Well, that's just my personality. No, that's just your old nature. Has nothing to do with your personality. But when you realize that, you can deal with it. You have to be willing to say, Lord, that's me. God, I'm sorry. I repent. That's me. And be honest with God. And then haven't you ever asked, I'm just saying, I ask myself, I ask the Lord, why am I like this? I want to know what makes me like this. You know, we were talking in the class earlier this morning. I shared, if my wife were to do something to me, whatever the something is, it does not give me grounds to retaliate against her. Because we like to say that people made us do stuff. Because then the blame is on the people and not us. Do you know that no matter what people do to you, it's no excuse for you to retaliate? Well, I need scripture for that, Pastor. No problem. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Get your hands off of it. So I still can't use that to retaliate, even though it may have been done something that was, you know, that they say, man, I see why you're angry. No, you don't. Because no matter what, or vice versa, if I done something to my wife, so y'all won't think it's always her doing something, because I do stuff too, hallelujah. But then it's still no excuse. You can't say, well, Lord, they done that to me, so that's why I hit them. That ain't going to work. God gave you an out. Here's your out. Be angry and sin now. You get mad. You get mad. Don't you sin. That's where you got to stop right there with your mad self. And now you got to deal with don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So you can be angry, but there's a time limit. There's a time limit. You mad 3 days later. No, the sun done went down a couple times. It ain't happening. Deal with that sinful nature. See, we talking about walking in liberty, y'all. You still mad. Good morning. Good morning. Really? Really? We got to start all over again. I thought it would be over last night. I thought it would be over. So I'm saying God gives us an out. He understands we have emotions. He allows us to exercise our emotions. But he gives us a time constraint to deal with them. Because you can't keep. See, you got to. If we're not careful, we give the enemy a foothold. Because these things start off as our old nature. But what happens is if we're not careful, we open doors to other things. See, I wasn't planning on doing all this like this. Look at verse 21. He says, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. He said, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we're talking about liberty, and I've been kind of like, you know, wondering, should I say this? But the scripture talks about drunkenness. And I know there's some people who believe in drinking wine. Now, I'll deal with that in another point a little later on, but you know, whether you're drinking wine or not, drunkenness is still wrong. Well, I ain't intoxicated. Really? You can't pass a sobriety test. You know, there's something called, what is it? Not just inebriated, but when the driving, you got driving while intoxicated. What's the DUI? Driving under the influence. That's what I was trying to see. There's a point where that you may not be drunk, but what are you influenced by? Oh man, I didn't know what I was saying. Okay, you weren't drunk, but you out of your mind so much you don't know what you were saying. One of these, I must have jumped over this. When you look at, in the King James, it says witchcraft. The word witchcraft is the Greek word pharmakia. It's the Greek word pharmakia, where we get the word pharmacy from. So now watch this. So it's not just drunkenness, like we see drunkenness, but it's under the influence. Are drugs influencing you? Do you know that that's your second nature? I mean, your old nature? That ain't just that. See, we've acted like, okay, I don't drink. But you got a closet. You got all of this stuff, you know. And watch this. People know what they're doing. Because, that's why I'm not here to lay down no laws. I'm here to talk about liberty. Because the Holy Spirit talked to you about what you shouldn't be doing. That's his job, not mine. All I'm doing is saying what's in the book. But I'm saying how we try to split hairs and think God don't know. He know you're not taking that cause of no headache. He know what you're really trying to achieve. I just need a little buzz, that's all. I'm just staying home tonight. Holy Ghost knows. He's sitting right there with you. Know exactly what you're doing. And cause ain't nobody else around. You think you're getting away? Really? Watch this. I'm gonna tell you how we know when we're doing wrong. Do you know we don't do it when nobody else is around? I mean, any of us. Y'all can just hold you. You can look down and I won't be like, we ain't talking about nobody, okay? But watch this. Anything we do and we know it ain't right, we make sure ain't nobody, even if it's your wife or your husband. But I don't care if you supposed to be on a diet, you eating it while ain't nobody else there. Good morning. What were you doing downstairs? Oh, I had to go check the lock on the door. Why them crumbs all around your pajamas? No matter what it, when we know we're doing wrong, we do it when ain't nobody else around. Because we know we're doing wrong. No matter what it is. It's just coming to the point of being honest. Lord, help me. This is me. See, y'all got me all out there now. So look at this. Envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. See, here's the seriousness of it. Do you realize what you're forfeiting? He said, listen, if you're living like this, you disqualify yourself from inheriting what God has for you. Now, let me go back to an earlier point that I made to you. This is no demon. This is our old nature that if we don't deal with it, it can disqualify us from having what God intended for us to have. But people are running around here talking about the devil this, the devil that. You better deal with your old nature. That's the real issue, because we eat, drink, and sleep with our old nature. It's still there. You can cuss just like you did before. I know you may not have done it in a while, but trust me, it is right there. Just like you, I mean, brrr, just like, I mean, not a problem. So we have to deal with that old nature. Because he said, if you live like this, if you accept this kind of life, it will disqualify you from entering into the kingdom of God. See, for us, oh, well, you know, I only slept with him one time. Are you willing to disqualify yourself for that? Really? Well, you know, I only had one or two hits. You know, it wasn't that bad. This is stuff to disqualify you? I told you, you really talk about, see, these are all, see, the things that we're looking at, this is really bondage, and God is saying, I want you to have liberty. Because you're bondage to a drug, you're bondage to a plant, you're bondage to a person. All that's bondage. And he said, no, I want you to be free. True liberty, I want you to live in it. All right, let me see if I can do this last one so we can finish up. Number three. Our life of liberty should be demonstrated by our love for God and one another. Our life of liberty should be demonstrated by our love for God and for one another. Now, for sake of time, I'm going to just kind of jump into this. And we're going to assume that everybody understands the love for God. Because it's usually not the love for God that people have a problem with. I mean, let me show you what I'm saying. God is perfect. Oh, I just love him. Oh, he's so wonderful. Oh, praise the Lord. But his people. I believe in the magnitude of God's wisdom being as unlimited as it is. He knew that folks would say, I love God. So he said, love my people. If you really love me, love my people. Lord, really? All of them? You really, all of his people? So go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, New Living Translation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. I'm sorry, verse 16. I'm sorry, I'm going to get better. See, I told you, you got to love his people, see? Even when they quote the wrong scripture. Like, Pastor, why are you still? See? Hey, some folks is just hard to get along with. They can't please them. You should have said the right one. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. For you are free. Amen. Notice this, you're not going to be free. You are free. Yet you are God's slaves. Why don't people talk about this? The only way you are free is by being a slave. But it's God's slave. People don't like that. I ain't nobody's slave, so you ain't free. For you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Now, what am I saying by that? Okay, our love for one another shows that we love God. I want you just for a moment to think about that. My love for you, your love for me, shows that we love God. So meaning we can't just sit in our own little corner of the world and just say, I just love God, I love God, I love God, I love God, I love God. How are you demonstrating the love that you have for God by loving his people? I just want me a word. I'm coming to church, get my word, and I'm going home. How are you demonstrating your love for God's people? How we know you love God? I came to church, really? Because you live in a garage don't make you a car. You mean you came to church? We want to see something. Now show me something. You can't just show up to work and say, I came. Pay me. You do need to work when you get there. I mean, I think that's the way it still works, isn't it? I mean, you know, you do work on the job, right? Or supposed to, at least. Let me show you what I'm saying. Go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, New Living Translation. Because first off, we need to understand what love really looks like. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, New Living Translation. This is real love. Let's get it clear. What does it really look like? This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. So in other words, he said, wait a minute. Let me show you what real love is first. We're not talking about eros, the erotic love. We're not talking about phileo, the brotherly love. See, let's go to another level. Let's talk about the Zoe or the God kind of love. And he says, this is real love, the sacrifice Jesus did for us. So what kind of love are we talking about? Love, this love is about finding our highest good. See, our highest good is salvation. It ain't, our highest good is not delivering you because you don't like your situation. Well, Lord, I'm going through on this job. I need a new job tomorrow. Okay, that may be what you want, but you know the highest good is your salvation. Because you and that job are only going to last so long. But your salvation is forever. So now, the highest good is what we're looking for. How can I help you in your highest good? How can you help me in my highest good? Now you're showing me love. See, because we keep thinking love is something you feel. It's, What was Jesus feeling carrying that cross on the way to Calvary? You think he was feeling all warm and fuzzy? But that's what we always say love is. He was committed to us every step of the way because he wanted our highest good. So he demonstrated it. So now, go to verse 12, same chapter. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us. And his love is brought to full expression in us. If we love each other. Verse 13, and God has given us his spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. So, if we love each other, God lives in us. And his spirit is proof that he lives in us and we in him. Because sometimes, you know, you don't always like the person, but he didn't say you had to like him. Y'all folks getting liberated in here today, ain't you? I mean, let's be honest. We all have different personality types. Okay, I may not want to go camping with you. That don't mean I don't love you. See, camping ain't your highest good. So don't be, well, I can't believe he didn't go camping. Maybe I don't like camping. Maybe I don't like camping with you. That's nothing. I mean, that's just, we got different personality types. See, there's things that we have to come to grips with. Why aren't you best friends with everybody? I mean, after all, we all saved. Why we ain't all best friends? Because, and God ain't expecting us to be. But he is expecting us to love each other. He is expecting you to look out for my highest good and me to look out for your highest good. Even if you don't like me. I'm just being honest. Verse 16, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. So we see the demonstration of God's love for us at Calvary, like we was talking about when Jesus is carrying the cross and what he's going through, shedding his blood for the remission of our sins. We see the demonstration of God's love for us. It's for our highest good. Look at verse 17. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. But we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Now, a lot of times when we talk about living like Jesus, people go like, I ain't living like him. Man, I'm not doing that. I'm jacked up. So I want to show you something. I want to show you what this is saying, because I believe, you want to talk about liberty? I believe this is liberating. Listen to this. I'm going to read this out of another translation. Verse 17. Here is how love has been brought to maturity. So he says, here is how love has been brought to maturity with us. As the Messiah is, so are we in the world. This gives us confidence for the day of judgment. So it's saying, just like Jesus is, we are right now. That's why you have confidence on the day of judgment. Because you are just like, watch this. What do you mean just like Jesus? Righteous. Because our lives are hid in him. What we start thinking about is how Jesus lived sinless. What God is talking about is righteousness. Because righteousness was God's standard that man could never get to. The law never made you righteous. It was an acceptance factor that God gave until Christ came to give us righteousness. So now, as he is, so are we. Righteous. So now, watch this. So, because I'm going to deal with the next verse in a minute. Because what it is now he's saying, you don't have to, or we don't have to feel afraid of judgment. Okay. I'm go to verse 18. So he says, such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. So now verse 18, he says, so if we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. Now, when you read that like that, you come off feeling like I'm missing something. Okay, now watch what he's saying in this translation. He says, there is no fear in love. On the contrary, love that has achieved its goal gets rid of fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The person who keeps fearing has not been brought to maturity in regard to love. So listen to this. He says fear has to do with punishment. The whole reason we won't have any fear is because love has matured in us. It has matured in us because now there is no fear of punishment. Because fear is all, okay, when you're afraid of something, you're afraid of what's going to happen to you. So what if nothing's going to happen to you? That's love matured. Ain't nothing going to happen to me. I don't have to be afraid of God judging me severely for what I've done. Because remember, we started off with this first off, recognizing you ain't got no past. So y'all was all with me earlier. Somewhere in between, we got to that sinful nature. And folks was like, oh. No. That's gone. That's those things that you did are gone. That's why he's saying don't do them again. Don't go back into that life. So now, if we see, why does everybody feel like if you just got saved and die, everything is fine? But if you got saved and you're still here, then we got troubles. Like God couldn't prepare for you still being here. It is the same grace that gives you that kind of liberty. So now there's no fear in us entering into. See, that's why death wears your sting. Because after death, there's a point where the man wants to die, then the judgment. After death is where judgment will come. But if you have no fear of judgment because you're in love and God's in you, what's the problem? So Paul comes back and says, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Why? Because he ain't judging me. There's no courtroom appearance. So as we start to learn this, now all of a sudden it's maturing in you. Yes. You're like, wow. So now watch this. So what kind of liberty do you have now? Yes. What can the enemy threaten you with? His greatest threat was death. Yes. And now when you go like, oh, I'll be with God then. So Paul said, okay, should I stay here with y'all or should I go? Man, I got to really think about this thing. That's what he was saying to the church. He was in a strait figuring out whether he should go ahead and depart from this life or stay with the church. The reason he stayed with the church, watch this, wasn't because he was afraid to die. It was better for the church at the time. So it was showing his love. Come on, y'all. He did what was best for the church. That was the highest good. Well, it wasn't like, I ain't ready. Because when he gets ready to finally go, he says, I'm ready to be offered up. Don't even care how you're doing it. I'm just ready. Because he understood. Listen, this is the man who don't murder people. If he could be like that, that's the kind of liberty you have. That's what I'm trying to get across to all of us. I need this CD. That's what I'm trying to make sure that we understand. This kind of liberty where you are not bound, where you are not condemned, that you are free and even, watch this, you're even free entering into judgment. It ain't just a freedom here. It's a freedom even into eternity. That you don't have to have a fear of judgment now. Because as he is, so are we in this present world. I got three more scriptures and I'm done. Verse 19, we love each other because he loved us first. Now, this is very interesting. We had to have God's love first before we could love each other. Before we just didn't like each other and that was it. Now we get God's love, we can still not like each other, but we will love each other. You got to have God's love. You can't just, I want to love the saints. Not without God's love. You can't do it. Verse 20, if someone says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. Pretty straightforward. I love the way John writes. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? You can't love God and hate his kids. Now, let's just be honest. You feel kind of funny about somebody say they love you and don't like your children. What you mean you don't like my kids? You all right, but I can't stand your kids. We ain't going to get along real well. Now, that's just us. So how you think God feels? You know, it's a package deal. Verse 21. And he has given us this command. Those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. So we ain't asked to love one another. We're commanded to love one another. Amen? Amen. I'm finished.